Parshas Kisisa opens with a discussion of Machatzis HaShekel. Machatzis HaShekel B'Shekel HaKodesh. And Ramban is about to take us on a tour of Halacha, Hashkafa, History, and Archaeology. Machatzis HaShekel B'Shekel HaKodesh. The parasha opens with the din of Machatzis HaShekel, that every Jewish male has to give at least a chatzi shekel, a set amount for the year, for each person, this common amount that every person gives, to fund the carbonous tzibur. So the Ramban is curious about the language. Machatzis HaShekel B'Shekel HaKodesh. We've been hearing that terminology repeatedly. We already heard it three times today, and Monday morning, Shabbos afternoon, and we heard it a couple weeks ago, when we lay into Parshas Shkol. Machatzis HaShekel B'Shekel HaKodesh. Ravan says, Kedarko forces us to pay attention to the words that we tend to let slide. What strikes you about that language, now that you look at it? Machatzis HaShekel B'Shekel HaKodesh. Right. Which other shekel are we talking about? Was there another type of shekel? A. And B, Shekel HaKodesh, exactly, Shekel HaKodesh. Holy money. I mean, once you give it to the Beis HaMikdash, once your makdash Beis HaMikdash, it has kedusha. Right? Is this holy? Are these holy denominations? What other shkalim, and why are these shkalim called Shekel HaKodesh? Says the Ramban, Kavlo Moshe Rabbeinu Matzeh of Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu, we are watching, says the Ramban. We are watching Moshe Rabbeinu establish a new coinage system. We're watching Moshe Rabbeinu establish a new monetary system right here. That's why Ramban presumably trying to say, that's why he has to explain which type of money, B'Shekel HaKodesh. Moshe Rabbeinu is right now establishing this. Who or what usually establishes a monetary system? Government. Himelech Gadol Hayah, says Ramban. Well, Moshe Rabbeinu was essentially the king of the Jews. A very powerful king of that. Moshe Rabbeinu points to the psukim to the pasuk in Vizos HaBracha, Vayhi Bishur Melech. Melech Gadol Hayah. The Kala Matbeahu Shekel. Moshe Rabbeinu chose to name the denomination Shekel. Mavur Shekel, and that was, I think, a common Semitic name for money systems, and there were other common Semitic names, or there were other names also. Why did Moshe Rabbeinu choose Shekel? Bavur Shekel Matbea B'Shekel Shalim. B'Mishkal Shalim, rather. Mishkal is weight. So these were of equal weight. Ein bo peches v'lo kesef sigim. The money that they were minting, that's how the Ramban understands, they started to mint coins under the aegis of Moshe Rabbeinu's government. And they were careful that they should be honest coins. There was none of them had any alloys. They didn't have any other base or metals mixed in. Kesef Sigim. They didn't have any peches. They weren't deficient. They all had the qualitatively pure stuff. So that's why it's called Shekel. Because they were careful about the weight they should be honest. He says, why is it called the holy shekel? The shekel. Okay, this is the shekel. Why do we call it the holy shekel? He says, Rabban, why is something called holy? It's a good question, general. He often gets sort of like step off the continental shelf here. Well, we thought we'd deal with like some detail about Pasuk Kisisa. All of a sudden, boom. A big enormous question. What makes something Kodesh? What did Rabban just say? Connection to mitzvahs, right? This is the money that the Torah uses to define various mitzvahs. When you're makdish and erech on lebet kabayis, pidyon haben, all the collections for the mishkan, the chol kesef hakotzev amrat Torah, and every set amount of money in the chumash, not just the exciting mitzvahs, also the punishments. For Ones, for Mafata, for Moti Shemra, and so on and so forth, Shoshim Shekel Shal Evan, all the amounts of money, almost all of them, if not all of them, are in these units. That makes these units holy. Rabban says, I think now that we arrived at this idea that something is holy because it's makushar to mitzvahs, there's something else that we also call blank HaKodesh, not in biblical Hebrew, not in the Hebrew of Tanakh. Shekel HaKodesh is the biblical phrase, obviously. There's something else that Chazal referred to as blank HaKodesh. Rabban points out, if we would stop to wonder, if we would stop to think about it, we might wonder, why is that called holy? And maybe this is the answer. What else is called blank HaKodesh? Ruach HaKodesh. Lashon HaKodesh. It's a Ruach HaKodesh. I understand why it's called Kodesh, because that's a direct, some sort of direct, indirect, whatever it is, we saw the Rabban the other week, but it's some sort of messaging from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So I understand that's called Kodesh. The Beis HaMikdash, I understand why it's called the Mikdash. The Lashon HaKodesh, what's holy about Hebrew? What's holy about Hebrew? Chen HaTem Etzlip HaMashra V'Seinu Koren L'Shon HaTorah L'Shon HaKodesh. Chazal refers to blank Kodesh, biblical Hebrew, as Lashon HaKodesh. In the footnotes, he tells you where to look. You can look in Sota and elsewhere. Why? What makes it holy? Pnei. So he's going to unpack this in a number of ways. Mipnei Shadivei Torah, Ad Torah Vahat Nevuos, V'chol Divei Kedusha, Kulo V'Lashon Ahu Nemru. Says number one, because Torah was given this language. Nevuah was given this language. All sorts of holy things. I don't know if all sorts of holy things means a reference to Ksuvim, means a reference to Mishnayos. But number one, it's the language of Torah. Hebrew is the language of Torah. Number two, V'hinehu ha-lashon, Shakadosh Baruch Hu yisaleh shemo medaber bo im neviyav ve'im adasav. Number two, not only is the language in which our Torah is written and recorded, it's also the language of live Nevuah. Rabban, I didn't know this. Rabban told us a Chiddush that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives Nevuah, not surprising Chiddush, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives Nevuah, it's in Hebrew. Yes, the Davlush story may be based, Hashem likes to tell, may be based on this Rabban. And then he goes, and how do you know? Anochi, Vayilacha. Shar Digras HaTorah V'Nevuah. The Aseret HaDigras, which was particularly the first two, which were national Nevuahs, well, all the other Nevuahs are in Hebrew. So far, number one, the Torah is written in Hebrew. Number two, Nevuah is transmitted, is said in Hebrew. Number three, Ubo Nikra Bishmo Sada Kedoshim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's names are Hebrew names. Kel, Elokim, Tzivakos, Shakai, Yud K, Yud K Vav K, Hashem HaGadol HaMiyuchad. I'm not sure if that's a different name than Yud K Vav K, or Yud K just means Yud K. Hashem HaGadol HaMiyuchad is Yud K Vav K. I think it's a machlokas mekubalim. I'm sure the Ramban talks about it elsewhere. Whatever it is, the Shemus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu number three are in Hebrew. Number four, Ubo Vara Olamo. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the universe using Hebrew. We talk about Astor Basar Mamaro Snifa Ha'olam. So that's a metaphor in human terms for the divine reality. But the way it's being described and made, what the divine equivalent is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the universe in some sense through the power of language, and specifically the Hebrew language. And hopefully you know what that means. Maybe that little bit captures that language is the way of conveying information. And if you speak to quantum physicists, they might tell you that if you dig deep enough, if you drill down enough, at a certain level, everything is information. So maybe that there are those who have, far wiser than I, who have suggested that that's a physical expression of a spiritual reality. And maybe that's what we mean by Sama Maris Nivra Ola, that kind of folk create the world through the expression of information, through language. Which language? The Hebrew language. Because Lashon HaKodesh calls the language of Nevuah. It's Lashon HaKodesh, number three, because the language of Shemos HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Number four, it's Lashon HaKodesh, because it's apparently the language of the Bria. Number five, soon after the Bria, Kara Shemos, Shamayim, Aret, V'chal Sherbam, U'malachav, V'chal Tzva'av, V'chulam B'shem Yikra, Michael Gabriel, B'lashin Ahu. He says, number five, is that in the course of Bria Sa'olam, things are named in Hebrew. Number six, if you want to break it down, the Malachim's names are Hebrew. Number seven, holy Jews had Hebrew names. Ubo kara shemos lakedoshim asher baretz. Avram, Yitzhak, Yaakov, Shlomo, Vezula Sam. Why did he mention those four Jews in particular? Right, because it's not just that they had Hebrew names. Bo kara Hashem called various, named the various tzaddikim in Hebrew. Those are all those. He's assuming that Yaakov was named by HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
What about Muslims?
What?
But Muslims don't call Avram by
Hebrew. Okay. The names have been translated.
Right. So maybe the names have been translated.
Right, so he's assuming that it was originally Hebrew, and that's a later translation. Correct. Exactly. It was not originally Ibrahim, it was not originally Abraham. Right. Correct. Awesome. He's making that assumption.
They spoke Hebrew back when they were Kazdiv?
I'm wrong. Probably not. But he wasn't called Abraham back when they were Kazdiv. He was called Abram. And then it's an interesting way of thinking about it. And part of the shift from Avram to Avraham might also be a Hebraization. Interesting. Sarai to Sarah. Maybe. Also, not only specifically the addition of letter Hey captures the Chumash says Avraham and Goyim. But maybe in addition to that, it was shifting from some other Semitic language to Hebrew name. Perhaps. Yeah.
Is Raman assuming or asserting that the Avos spoke Hebrew, and if so, how many of the conversations, or how much of biblical conversation was actually Hebrew versus translation?
That's a great question. He did not, it's a very sharp observation. He did not assert, I don't think, that their conversations were in Hebrew. He actually left that. Almost everything he says here is about Kadosh Baruch Hu. The Torah is given in Hebrew. Hashem speaks the Nevuah in Hebrew. What else did he say? HaKadosh Baruch created the universe in Hebrew. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's names are in Hebrew. HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates the universe in Hebrew. HaKadosh Baruch Hu names Shemayim Va'aretz in Hebrew. HaKadosh Baruch Hu names the Malachim in Hebrew. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu names various people in Hebrew. Right? He's been focused on how HaKadosh Baruch Hu uses the language, not on how people use the language. People did use the language also, but Rabban, and he's about to contrast, we're going to see in a moment where he's going with this, he's contrast. The Rambam and the Mor Nevuchim had already addressed this question with a very different type of answer, but Rabban doesn't like it. Rabban thinks that this language is holy because HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose to use it repeatedly in all sorts of important holy ways. What language individuals in the Tanakh spoke probably varied. I believe it's Rabban elsewhere, I don't remember where. He points out that obviously not all the conversations recorded in Chumash happened in Hebrew. And Moshe Rabbeinu went to speak to Paro. Paro were not speaking Hebrew. I shall call him Moses, for I drew him from the water, right? Which is a little bit cute, but does capture the fact that it wasn't in English, but probably also wasn't in Hebrew. I think Ibn Ezra actually theorized what Moshe's original Egyptian name, he's Munoz, he has some suggestion for what it was in one of the ancient Egyptian languages. It's translated into Hebrew as Moshe. But it was originally an Arab Egyptian name that Bas Paro gave him that had to do with however you say that Egyptian tongue to draw from the water.
It should have been Andrew, because the German.
Yes. I have a friend Andrew who I refer to as Moshe sometimes for that reason. Very sharp. I believe Rabban says elsewhere, I forget where, that a lot of the conversations in the Tanakh are translated Hebrew from the language which they originally occurred. Is Naaman speaking in Hebrew? Probably not. Rav Shake in Malachim, the Pesukim say, Rav Shake shows up, the emissary of Sancheirib, the emperor of Aram, he shows up and speaks in Yehudis, he speaks in Hebrew to the Jews because he wants to speak to them directly. But the conversations are recorded elsewhere between non-Hebrew speakers, or presumably non-Hebrew. Yonah shows up to Nineveh. Did he say that in Hebrew? Maybe, or maybe he said that in Aramaic. I believe the Ramban says that, I don't remember where. Number one, that many of the conversations are translated. Number two, many of the conversations are abbreviated. And you stop to think about it for a moment, it's self-evident that the vast majority of what happened in the lives of even the most focused upon figures in the Tanakh, the vast majority of their lives don't appear in the Tanakh. Avram, Yosef, Moshe, Shmuel, David, as much as we hear about them, obviously, if you think about it, even for a moment, it's obviously a tiny, tiny fraction. Avram Avinu lived 175 years. He said millions, if not tens of millions of words, maybe hundreds of millions, you've got to do the approximations. How many words do we hear out of Avram Avinu's mouth in Chumash? I don't know, a couple hundred, a couple thousand? Tiny sliver. Yosef, a tiny sliver. Even Moshe Rabbeinu, other than when he's delivering Torah with the elevated degree of Nevuas Moshe, we hear only a tiny sliver. Why? So that's the Gemara Maseches Megillah. Spoke on the past. Arguably the most significant line of all the Talmud Bavli in terms of methodology of learning Tanakh. Nevusha Tzurich L'Daros Nechtiva. Nevusha Lo Tzurich L'Daros Lo Nechtiva. The Chumash and the Tanakh in general, it is historically accurate, but it's not a history book in the sense that the goal is not to teach us the stories of what happened. The goal is to teach us lessons that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to have for all generations. One of the tools that HaKadosh Baruch Hu uses to teach those lessons is telling us selected stories from that time period that teach us those lessons, as well as direct exposition. Sometimes you give drushes. Sometimes you have mitzvahs. Sometimes you have muster. And sometimes you have a story. The story is meant to teach us many things. But it's not a comprehensive history of the period. It's not a comprehensive biography of Avram or Yosef or Moshe or Shmuel or David either. Or Eliyahu or Chizkiyahu. So yeah. And as I think the Rabban says, even when you do hear a conversation, even an episode that does appear, often the Chumash will only give you, Tanakh and Jal will only give you those parts, the Hurtzuch Lodoros. There are many more details. That's why the Gemara will shtel, like for instance, say for Shmuel, Shaul's looking for Shmuel Anavi. He doesn't know. He's looking for Shmuel Anavi because he wants to find his lost donkeys. Hakadosh Baruch Hu's plan is he's going to find Shmuel Anavi. Shmuel Anavi is going to coronate him. He's going to anoint him as Melech Yisrael. Shaul doesn't know that. So the Pesukim say for Shmuel describe. He comes to Shaul's town. He gets like details. He's looking for Shmuel. Shaul is looking. Comes to Shmuel's town. Is looking for Shmuel. So he finds this group of girls. And he asks them, "Where's the Navi?" They give him a whole convoluted answer. Well, he's over there because he's there. And so if you go there, you'll find him because he's there. And more or less what they said. So the Gemara comments, "What was that? What was that?" So now Abi Pashtas, well, what it was he was a very, very handsome guy. And they were struck by him. And either they just lost their tongues, they just like talking, because they were just overwhelmed by Yishal's handsomeness. Or they wanted a few extra seconds to be able to be in conversation with a really handsome guy. So they sort of played out the conversation as long as they could. But the Gemara says, look why the Tanakh tell us. That was their kavana. But why did the Tanakh have to tell us? Okay, there have been billions of women who have been taken by men. Trillions of women have been taken by men. Trillions of men have been taken by women. Why is this making sense? Hutzul Hadar, the Gemara explains, is a lesson, Ashkacha Pratis, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They were talking to him on and on because they were taken by his good looks. HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw to it that the Shaul would end up meeting those girls as opposed to someone else, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to get the timing just right. It wasn't yet the right moment for him to become Melech, So they need to be offset by another few seconds. Hakadosh Baruch Hu sees to it that he meets those girls as opposed to someone else, so that way it offsets another few seconds. So he'll get to Shmuel at exactly the right moment. Ein malchus nagas b'charav da'afil k'mal nima. Gemara nima. Hakadosh Baruch Hu wants to happen exactly the moment it's supposed to happen. So even that one detail of the story, there has to be a reason why the detail is there. So yeah, are there parts of conversations that don't appear in Tanakh? Sure. Every sliver that makes it in was put in Bechavana, and you're right also, so that to me, conversations are abbreviated and conversations are translated. Yeah.
And they had to have been translated because Paro by Yosef didn't even know Hebrew.
Right, that's a good point. Right. Correct.
So Tanakh is just art scroll. Yeah.
No. No to both. No to the Dibur, no to the Maisa. Harav Amar B'Mora Nevuchim. Then the Rabban says, the Rambam already addresses in Mor Nevuchim. What the Rambam say? Al Tasho Shenikro L'Shoneinu L'Shon HaKodesh L'Gavoseinu L'Tauseinu. The Rambam says, you shouldn't think that we call our language the holy language because we're jingoistic and we think that we're just the best thing since sliced bread, and if that's a Jewish language, that must be the holy language. It's not an expression of ego. Avahu B'din, what's holy about it? Rambam would agree to that. But there's an inherent reason this language is holy. But what is that inherent reason? The Rambam says the inherent reason is Kizos HaLoshim Kedosha. This is a holy language because of what it lacks. Because of what it lacks. Well, Yimatsu Bo Shemos La'Ebra Be'ila V'Zachor Obenekeva Lo L'Tipo L'Sheslin L'Tzor Rak B'Kinu. Rambam says in Monavuchim, there aren't any direct terms in Biblical Hebrew for genitalia. There aren't any direct terms in Biblical Hebrew for excretion. It's all euphemism. Mei Raglayim. Soa. What comes out. These are all euphemisms. The Rambam says that's why this is called Lashon HaKodesh. It's called Lashon HaKodesh because of what it does not have. I'm sorry? Right. Very good. Right, so that's the sugi of Bekir of Masachas Pesachim. On Dafkin Lashir, right now, it's Ahura. There's value to avoiding Lashon Sheinu Naki. There's value to speaking in an elegant fashion. And then Rambam, he goes on to quote the Rambam. Rambam continues to say, Ayata Oscha Shegel. The word Shegel sounds like it's a direct term for physical intimacy. No. Hushema Isha Mizumenas Lamishka. That's a name for a person. It's a term for a person, not for an act. But Ma Yishkalena Apima Shenichtam. Allah. Yishkalena doesn't mean to be intimate. Yishkalena means to take that woman as a shegel, as a pilegesh. So that's the Rambam's argument. There's no direct terminology. There's no direct terminology for intimacy. There's no direct terminology for excretion. And that's what makes this language holy. Rabban says he doesn't think that's correct. Ain't tzorach l'tamazeh. On two levels. Number one, the assumption that not having terminology for this, not having terminology makes it kadosh. He doesn't seem to think that's correct. He said maybe, he goes on to say, maybe that makes it lashon nekiya. Because I'll use the terminology lashon nekiya. When you're euphemistic, when you're elegant about things. It doesn't make it holy. Yeah. We have to discuss all of life. We have to discuss all of life in an elegant and effective way. It doesn't, so you want to handle it in a clean, elevated, elegant way. Lashon Nekiya. It goes on to say, Tamash al-Ravi Yukarno also Lashon Nekiya. It says, no, the reason why it's holy, what makes it holy, is positively, it is used for holy things. Yadavar Barer. Shalashem Kodesh Kadoshim. Kemoshe Pirashti. I gave you seven expressions of the holiness, holy uses of this language. And he also doesn't think the Rambam is accurate. He thinks he doesn't like the Rambam's treatment of the word Yishkalena. That's why there's a Kriyuk Zed. And then, then let's go a drop further. That's the first half of the Rambam. I told you he would discuss not only Hashkafa, and we saw very quickly from sensitivity to language to the wording of the pasuk, we got into a major Hashkafa question of what drives Kedusha. I told you he's getting into Halacha and history as well. So let's at least touch on that. At the bottom of the page, Pirish HaKasuv, now that he's defined, now that he explained why it's called Shekel HaKodesh, he says, then the pasuk goes on to say, Esrim Gira HaShekel. This Shekel that Moshe Rabbeinu, according to Rambam, had just invented, had just coined, is each Shekel is worth Esrim Gira. He says that the Unkel is translated as Ma'in, Ma'a, HaGira Etzlo Shem LaMatveya HaNikr Ba'aramis, Ma'a. And he goes on to have a fascinating discussion over the course of the next page. But what is a shekel? Because the Rashi says the shekel is four zehuvim, a zehuvim is a half an ukya, at the top of the next page, the mishkal hayasher shel kolonia. Rashi begins to translate in the money of Cologne, in Germany. And then he starts quoting others, but constant in Turkish money. He starts quoting six lines down, the Baal Achaz Gedolos and the Gaonim Rishonim, it's the Dinar Shashdang. Gotta go reach back into your 8th century Iranian financial histories. And now he starts to translate that. See, like, right after the brag, but Fiyash, you were in some, but Divrayim, you work out based on what they're saying, Hadinar Mishab, the Talmud Gedolim and Azub, and Anim Sami Yotim is my name. Start doing the math, their shkalim were bigger than our, their dinar were bigger than our zehuvim by a third, and that's the ukiah that Rashi quotes. And then there's an appendix, there's an addition. The Rabban later came to Eretz Yisrael. He writes elsewhere, when I came to Eretz Yisrael, they showed me a shekel. And then he revised what he said based on what he found. So it's fascinating to see, number one, just to see during the days that we show him to watch the way he's handling, like the type of issues, the discussions that we have, Pesach, Kavim, Shalashem, Kodah, Regal, what's the Kazayis, how big is the Kazayis, how small is the Kazayis, the Kazayis, the Revias, handling how you translate into contemporary units, how much is the Kazayis in teaspoons and tablespoons, in cubic centimeters. Rishonim are already dealing with that sort of question. How much do you give?
Sorry, can I get Joel Goldberg and ILAB, please? Just a second. Thank you. Sorry, just the ILAB there?
No. Nope.
Okay. How are you?
Okay. And it's fascinating to see the Ramban using archaeology. He worked it out based on the Divrei Rishonim. He has a Rashi, he has the Bahag, and other Gaonim. And then he comes to Eretz Yisrael, and they had dug up Shkalim. And now he's starting to sort out what's actually Shekel Shel Torah, what corresponds to Shekel Shel Torah, what does not correspond to Shekel Shel Torah. And he's using that. Here, take a look. I'm going to close with this. At the bottom, in Rav Shavel's footnote, at the bottom of page Tav Tzadi Gimel. Six lines off the bottom of the last column. Ayem b'igeres Rabbeinu Shoshav l'vinom Eretz Yisrael. Later in his life, when he makes it to Eretz Yisrael, he sends a letter back to Europe to his son. Shekotav shom shemasim abeyos yishanos. Shemehem nistayeya divei Rashi yu agadol. Here in the Ramban Chumash, he's not so excited about Rashi. But then he says he got our kin to Israel. He was able to directly get some empirical data, and based on the data he was seeing, it did seem that Rashi is historically accurate. So a lot to think about. Mamash in just one pasuk, a pasuk that we heard so many times, because we're so used to hearing. Machatzis hashekel b'shekel hakodesh, esrim gerah hashekel, machatzis hashekel trumah l'Hashem. Just those couple of words that we take for granted, a whole world of hashkafa, a whole world of halacha, a whole world of history, and the impact of history on halacha, all of which begins by reading the language of the Chumash slowly and carefully. A lot more, if you want to take a look at this other Rambans as well, Rambam Bapetzal, Rambam has a lot to say about Egel Azab, too long for this forum. Long, long Rambans, very rich. Feel free to take a look. There's plenty to work on over the course of Erev Shabbos and Shabbos. We can head down to the Beis HaMedrash now.